I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Good morning. Mr. Biden is going to have a statement to make and will not be able to take any questions today. We appreciate you all being here.
Good morning. I'm here today to answer at a public hearing any legitimate questions Chairman Comer and the House Oversight Committee may have for me. I'm here today to make sure that the House Committee's illegitimate investigations of my family do not proceed on distortions, manipulated evidence, and lies. And I'm here today to acknowledge that I've made mistakes in my life and wasted opportunities and privileges I was afforded. For that, I'm responsible. For that, I'm accountable. And for that, I'm making amends.
My God, give me grace, give me some solace, give me some peace, because I made so many bad mistakes. I am a sinner. We all are sinners. But here is Hunter Biden today appearing in front of Congress outside the congressional building, I should point out, talking about, I've made a lot of mistakes, but I'm here to answer the questions. But I want to point out to you that this investigation has been a witch hunt from the beginning. They're relying upon things like, as he calls it, you know, malicious lies, distortions. Their bank records. Their bank records. It's not someone sitting off in the dark with their face covered talking about you and what you've done. Their bank records and documents. So Hunter Biden shows up today as he was subpoenaed by the House Oversight, Judiciary Committees, and others to come answer questions. He said, I'm here to do so. You heard him say that in the beginning. But this is just the beginning. Oh, wait to hear the rest of this story. Thanks for joining us. Here we are, December 13, 2023, the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA, back to back. You don't want to miss it, Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Let your family, friends, even your enemies know we're on the air during those hours, Monday through Friday. And reminding you, we are streaming video, and some of you watching our video probably took note of some things I was doing while Hunter was talking. You might have liked it, you might not. I don't care. I did it anyway. It's already going to be in your face. Now, whether you're watching or listening live, you can get, of course, the stream at Larry Connors USA Facebook or Twitter, News Talk STL Facebook or Twitter, and, of course, the audio is also available. All of it, if you miss any of it or you want to replay it, pull it up, share it with someone else, you go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. LarryConnorsUSA.com. It's all there for you. So here was Hunter Biden showing up to say, I'm here. They subpoenaed me. I'm here. And I'm ready to answer questions. And then he begins this self-serving, oh, woe is me.
I'm also here today to correct how the MAGA right has portrayed me for their political purposes. I am first and foremost a son, a father, a brother, and a husband from a loving and supportive family. I'm proud to have earned degrees from Georgetown University and Yale Law School. I'm proud of my legal career and business career. I'm proud of my time serving on a dozen different boards of directors. And I'm proud of my efforts to forge global business relationships.
Well, he did do that. He forged global relationships, did he not? With Burisma and the Chinese communists. And he's proud of his business acumen and what he's done. But as you heard in the beginning, he starts off saying, we have the MAGAs that have been coming after me, and they've taken something I've done that's been honorable. And yes, I've had some flaws in my life, as we all do, but they've taken what I've done honorable, and now they're trying to not only smear me, but Daddy.
For 6 years, MAGA Republicans, including members of the House committees who are in a closed-door session right now, have impugned my character, invaded my privacy, attacked my wife, my children, my family, and my friends. They've ridiculed my struggle with addiction, they've belittled my recovery, and they have tried to dehumanize me, all to embarrass and damage my father, who has devoted his entire public life to service. For 6 years, I have been the target of the unrelenting Trump attack machine, shouting, "Where's Hunter?" Well, here's my answer. I am here.
I am here. And yet he's not, and I'll explain why in a moment. But for 6 years, he's been under this microscope. How long has Donald J. Trump and his family been under the microscope of the left? From the day he came down in Trump Tower, down the escalator, to announce that he was running for the White House, all they've been after him with knives sharpened, ready at every corner. And it went through two impeachment proceedings. And here's Hunter Biden with all of his baggage. Yes, I can feel for him that he got caught up and got addicted. But he brought it upon himself, and he pulled his family into it. He did. Not the reporters. He did it, and he did it on his laptop as well. And he wants to put all the blame on everyone else. But again, insisting, you know, they're just harassing me and picking on me because they're trying to get to my daddy. Well, Hunter said, I want to stress again, daddy's not involved in any wrongdoing.
Let me state as clearly as I can. My father was not financially involved in my business, not as a practicing lawyer, not as a board member of Burisma, not in my partnership with a Chinese private businessman, not in my investments at home nor abroad, and certainly not as an artist. During my battle with addiction, my parents were there for me. They literally saved my life. They helped me in ways that I will never be able to repay. And of course, they would never expect me to. And in the depths of my addiction, I was extremely irresponsible with my finances. But to suggest that is grounds for an impeachment inquiry is beyond the absurd. It's shameless.
The impeachment proceeding, of course, against Daddy, which the House has been going through debating back and forth as to how we're going to proceed with an impeachment hearing against Biden. But let me bring something to your attention. He was under subpoena to appear before these committees, House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer, House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan, and House Ways and Means Committee Chair Jason Smith, Republican of Missouri. All of them leading the impeachment inquiry against President Biden, and they wanted Hunter Biden in front of them to answer questions. And he had said, no, I'm not going to go behind those closed doors because I know what happens behind closed doors. I watched the Adam Schiff hearings impeachmenting against Trump. I know you say things in there that are not true. You come out and lie to the American people about what you said. And the American people buy what you tell them on your state-controlled media outlets that it's going to be really bad. Trump, we've got him nailed to the wall. But then when the facts come out, there is nothing. He said, I don't want to do that. I'll do it all in front of the cameras, in front of a full hearing. And he's suggesting that by the members of Congress not willing to do it that way to begin with, that they want to hide things. What they're trying to do is take a deposition and boil it down to essential questions so when they do go before the cameras, which they will, more than willing to do so, they've got specifics and they can counter whatever he says against testimony he gave in a deposition. That is a standard practice. You do not depose clients, basically, in front of the judge and the jury. That is done before you have the trial, be it criminal or civil. But he wants to be treated differently. Oh, there is one thing that stood out in Hunter Biden's remarks you were just listening to. Maybe you caught it. I do know that Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan, chair of the Judiciary Committee, pointed it out, and he makes a very, very good point.
There's no evidence to support the allegations that my father was financially involved in my business, because it did not happen.
I would just point out that I've had a chance now to review what Hunter Biden said in his press conference. And I think he made an interesting statement. He said his father was not financially involved in the business. And I think that qualifier, the word financially, is important, because once again, it shows another change in this story. First, it was no involvement. Then, no, I never talked to anyone. And then we find out about the dinners, the meetings, the phone calls, and everything else. Now it's, okay, he wasn't involved in the business financially. I think that is important. It's one of the reasons we want to talk to Hunter Biden.
There's no evidence to support the allegations that my father was financially involved in my business, because it did not happen.
You see the distinction. My daddy was not financially involved in my business. In other words, he didn't put any capital or money into the business. He was apparently taking money from Hunter Biden based on various statements we've seen from bank records. There's been no explanation for it. But he didn't put any money into the business, so he was not financially involved. If you don't put money into it, you're not directly financially involved. Do you reap benefits from it? That's the point and the question. James Comer says we still need full answers. We're going to get them.
Chairman Jordan and I have been very clear. We issued a lawful subpoena to the president's son. This has been a 10-month investigation, a credible, transparent investigation that has produced a lot of troubling evidence. We have lots of questions. Hopefully you all have had an opportunity to go in the committee room and see the boxes of documents that we've accumulated, tens of thousands of pages of documents. We have lots of specific questions. This is an investigation about public corruption at the highest levels of our government. The American people expect Congress to investigate this, because I think one thing that Chairman Jordan's proven is the FBI, the DOJ, and the IRS, as we've heard from the whistleblowers, have all dropped the ball. So the House Oversight and House Judiciary Committee are conducting this credible investigation that an overwhelming majority of Americans want. We have specific questions for the president's son. He does not get to dictate the terms of this subpoena.
He does not get to dictate the terms. And in fact, Republicans vowed to hold Biden in contempt of Congress because he skipped the deposition as it was scheduled. But out in front of the halls of Congress, Hunter was explaining again as to what is real and what's fabricated. What do you think?
There's no evidence to support the allegations that my father was financially involved in my business, because it did not happen. James Comer, Jim Jordan, Jason Smith, and their colleagues have distorted the facts by cherry-picking lines from a bank statement, manipulating texts I sent, editing the testimony of my friends and former business partners, and misstating personal information that was stolen from me. There is no fairness or decency in what these Republicans are doing. They have lied over and over about every aspect of my personal and professional life. So much so that their lies have become the false facts believed by too many people. No matter how many times it is debunked, they continue to insist that my father's support of Ukraine against Russia is the result of a non-existent bribe. They displayed naked photos of me during an oversight hearing. And they have taken the light of my dad's love, the light of my dad's love for me and presented it as darkness. They have no shame.
I did not know that Hunter Biden knew the word shame, to be quite honest. I'm sorry, I didn't know. Does he have it confused with something else? Oh, no, no, he's still looking at all of this. Is not an investigation. It is, in his opinion, an inquisition.
These same committee chairmen have engaged in unprecedented political interference in what would have already been a five-year investigation of me. Yet, here I am, Mr. Chairman, taking up your offer when you said we can bring these people in for depositions or committee hearings, whichever they choose. Well, I've chosen. I am here to testify at a public hearing today to answer any of the committee's legitimate questions. Republicans do not want an open process where Americans can see their tactics, expose their baseless inquiry, or hear what I have to say. What are they afraid of? I'm here. I'm ready.
And he knew damn well there was no congressional gathering at that point for a full public testimony. He was subpoenaed to appear before the behind closed doors. Now, it was suggested at one point by one member, I think it might have been James Comer, said he wanted to testify in public, the deposition, he wants that public. Well, then maybe we'll just do that. We'll do the whole deposition. Let everybody watch it from start to beginning. What is your name? Is that spelled correctly? Where do you live? What is your age? And that's the kind of mundane questions that go on through a deposition until they get to the heart of the issues. But right now, as I said, members of Congress are saying, and we're talking about Republican members, that we may still go after him because he's denying the subpoena. They subpoenaed him to show up. He said, I'm here. No, you're out there. You're not in here behind closed doors so we can go start this deposition. So he did not comply with subpoena. Now, there will be those on the left say, well, that's okay. He's allowed to do that. I mean, he shouldn't have to do that. And they've been hounding him. When you say that, can you not possibly hear somewhere in the back of your head echoes of how Trump was treated and his family? And I'm not trying to take sides on it. I'm just asking you. Of course Trump was treated differently, and they want Hunter to be treated differently on their side, and that is, don't treat me like you did Trump. They were told back then, if you're not careful, you might end up seeing this back in your face. Here it is. Coming up later in this hour, Joe Biden is saying some things behind closed doors. This, I should say, in the next hour, Joe Biden saying things behind closed doors about Israel's fight against Hamas. But before the end of this hour, Tucker Carlson has a take on the new biography of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Kind of funny, and yet at the same time, maybe you shouldn't listen, but you will. And we're going to be joined by Gordon G. Chain on the Chinese soldiers, the terrorists that are already inside our nation. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
It's been a very busy year for Wellington Environmental. Tom and his staff had traveled all over making sure that minor issues don't become major disasters. Then there are the times Wellington is called in for emergencies, but nothing Wellington hasn't seen before. They have certified inspectors, chemists, scientists, environmental planners, and that's just some of their expertise. That is why the St. Louis Business Journal gave Wellington such a high ranking. So what will 2024 bring? No one knows, but if you take time to visit the Wellington Environmental Facebook, you're going to see things that might explain health issues at your home or business affecting you, your family, clients. Wellington Environmental Facebook. Tom Wellington and the entire staff wish you a blessed 2024. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. So, As always, be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me, nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you, why pay more than four? In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
You want to give a unique gift this holiday? I suggest Stolach Whiskey, produced in Missouri. Stolach Whiskey, born of natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Stolach, so smooth. Trust me, you're going to enjoy it. So next time, ask for Stolach. Visit the website, stolach.com. Stolach, Stolloch, from Stone Ledge Distillery.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. We told you about Chinese military-age men gathering not just in Mexico, but deep below Mexico, down in the triangle, Honduras, Guatemala, Nicaragua, and all assembling at one hotel in many cases, where they were eventually then going to be moving toward our southern border, often coming through at night, trying to go undetected. Why would they do that? When the border is basically, quote, open under the Biden administration, because they don't want you to know they're coming. Simple answer, right? But there's more to it. My guest, Gordon G. Chain. You can see him on Twitter at Gordon G. Chain. Gordon G. Chain on Twitter. Gordon, glad to have you on board again, sir.
Thank you so much, Larry.
So what is your thought about these military-age men gathering at points even below Mexico and now coming across the border?
I do believe that they are saboteurs. They're coming here to wage war on America. You remember that secret Chinese biological weapons facility in Ridley, California? That was the one that had at least 20 pathogens, including Ebola, and almost 1,000 mice that had been genetically engineered to spread disease. So I believe that some of those individuals coming across our border, dead of night, military age, traveling in packs of 5 to 15 without family members, pretending not to speak English, I think that they're going to link up with these facilities around the U.S., take some of those mice, spread them around, you know, attack our grid, poison our reservoirs, blow up shopping centers. They're coming here to kill Americans.
Well, all of that is a frightening scenario, and if it's that plain on face, and I agree with you, why is the Biden administration still just indifferent?
I have no idea. You'd have to ask them. Because to me, there is no reason to allow this to occur for a foreign enemy. And actually, it's foreign enemies because it also includes Iran and Venezuela. We're allowed dangerous individuals from those societies to come here in circumstances that suggest terrorism. There is no explanation for this.
The other day when Premier Xi was in San Francisco and Joe Biden flew out to meet him, and of course they cleaned up San Fran, got all the derelicts off the street, the homeless, put up Beijing flags all up and down the streets he was passing. I wanted so much for Biden to ask him directly, why are so many of your Chinese military age men coming to our nation? And did you not know it? Because you know Xi is aware that these men are no longer in his country, that they're coming into here. And they're not trying to seek asylum from a dictator. They're coming here with orders and instructions.
Well, you know, Biden didn't raise a lot of things. Yeah. So, for instance, he didn't talk about Chinese cyber hacking of our critical infrastructure. It was on his list of notes for things to raise, but he did not, in fact, talk about it with Xi Jinping. And there are a lot of things that we don't talk about with Xi Jinping. There are a lot of things that we talk about in terms that we shouldn't. So, for instance, we mentioned fentanyl, as if these are just criminal gangs operating independently of the Communist Party. Well, they're not, because we know that they can't operate in China's near-total surveillance state without the approval of the party.
Right.
We know that some of these fentanyl producers are state-owned. We know they all operate with the protection of Chinese diplomats. We know that every container that leaves China is inspected by officials. We know that these Chinese fentanyl producers, they launder their proceeds through the Chinese state banking system. This is an attack by the Communist Party that killed 70,000 Americans last year. And we sort of pretend, and this is not just Biden, this is also his predecessors. We just pretend that this is some sort of criminal enterprise that the Chinese government doesn't want. And when John Kirby, the NSC spokesperson, on the following day said that Xi Jinping told President Biden that he doesn't want to see one more American die from fentanyl.
Right.
Kirby was propagating Communist Party propaganda. He knew what he was saying, that Xi Jinping didn't really believe that. He told the American people that. Shame on John Kirby. He should resign.
Oh, I've said that numerous times before. In fact, everyone in that administration, if they're true patriot, they should resign long ago. But, as you said, there were several things Biden would not broach with him. So the Chinese premier leaves and say, oh, they threw a great big celebration party for me. Got my flags flying everywhere, and he's still working to get money out of Silicon Valley and cyber hacking at the same time.
Yes. Well, you know, Xi Jinping, I think, came not so much to talk to Biden, but actually to raise money. And that was evident from that dinner that Xi Jinping attended and spoke at on Wednesday the 15th after the four-hour meeting with Biden. You know, fortunately, communists are communists and they can't help themselves. Yeah. So Xi Jinping's speech was tone deaf. It didn't address the issues that the business audience wanted to hear. I don't think he helped himself at all. But the point remains, the Biden administration should never have allowed Xi Jinping to give that speech in the first place.
Do you see Biden in the remaining of his term, and I don't wish him ill, but assuming he survives to the end of the term and before we even discuss a second term, changing direction at any point?
I don't think that's a really great question, and there are a lot of elements to it. It's not so much the president himself. It is his administration, which I think is determining a lot of his policies. So I'm not sure that he is the author of all of his policies. But I don't see the people around him changing their policies. Biden himself, I think, is to a certain extent befuddled. He has some horrible instincts. He's got some good instincts. But I don't think he's really running things from this sense of it. You know, I don't know. I'm not inside the administration. But in general, I don't see the administration changing course.
If you were inside, you'd been thrown out by now because you're speaking reasonable. And that does not fly in this administration. I want to go back to...
Right.
Go ahead, sir. You want to add a point.
No. You know, it's absolutely right that we have a lot of pro-Iranian elements in this administration, in the State Department and at the National Security Council. And just to give you an example, you know, on 9/11, when Biden announced that deal with Iran, exchange of prisoners and hostages, unfreezing of $6 billion, Biden actually granted clemency to five Iranian operatives.
Right.
And he allowed three of those operatives to stay in the United States. I don't understand that either. So something's going on in this administration that we don't know about.
So going back to your original scenario, which is frightening as hell, if they get hold of these mice that are carrying Ebola or whatever else they might have been infected with and then spreading them across the nation, this will appear to be an act of God almost for a lot of people, that they have come down with something and we've got to fear them all over the world. And now here in our country, almost like a new pandemic, but it's being spread by mice, which came out of this lab, and somehow or another the Chinese got access to them.
Yes, that's exactly what's going to happen. They're going to make it difficult for us to defend ourselves. You know, it's disease, it's terrorism, it is all sorts of disruption, taking down critical infrastructure. So it's going to take us a little bit of time to get through that. And that's all
cost?
Part of China's unrestricted warfare campaign against the United States.
At what cost do we get through it?
We can lose our country. We're a far stronger society than China. China right now is in extreme distress. That's not to say that it isn't dangerous. That is to say that it is perhaps even more dangerous than it has been in the past. But we can lose our society because we're not defending ourselves. And by the way, Larry, this is not just a problem of Biden or Marxist Democrats. It's also a problem with free market conservative Republicans who, by the way, sometimes are the CCP's biggest supporters when it comes to legislation. So we got a disease that cuts across the political spectrum, cuts across parties, liberals and conservatives. These are dangerous individuals. I'm not saying that they're unpatriotic. It's just that they actually believe things that support the Communist Party and undermine critically American national security. So shame on them, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, liberals or conservatives.
And if they're doing it for dollars, I add a double shame, and I begin to question if they are patriotic.
Yes. Well, some of them are. But some of them are fronting for Wall Street. And there's one particular Republican congressman from North Carolina who single-handedly prevented the Biden administration from restricting investments into Chinese tech companies. And fortunately, he has announced that he is not running for re-election.
Right.
But so far, he's done a lot of damage this year. And if he is fronting for Wall Street, he is in your category of unpatriotic Americans selling out our country for money.
Well, that's, of course, a big question that's going around Biden himself right now and the call to have an impeachment inquiry and find out where Biden owes his alliances, and because of his son and the business dealings. I'm going to ask you on a personal level, do you think you're going to get a full, clear answer out of that?
Out of Biden? Out of the impeachment inquiry?
Yes, sir.
You know, I don't know. I don't do domestic politics. I can say, though, that money always leaves a trail. We're finding out because of Representative Comer's oversight committee, we're finding out more and more. We may not find out about blackmail, which probably is also present. And the question is whether we'll find out in time, because this very well may be something that takes longer than Biden has in the White House.
And the clock is ticking. Gordon, as always, thank you for your expertise, sir, and your time.
Thank you so much, Larry, and stay safe. Happy Christmas.
And Merry Christmas
and
to you,
Merry New
too.
Year.
Merry Christmas to you as well. You'll find him on Twitter at Gordon G. Chain, at Gordon G. Chain. You'll often see him on the network newscast of various networks, and always an expert on China and warning us, but are we listening? Coming up, Congressman Chip Roy dealing with the supposed impeachment of Biden.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beale based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in. And I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Vincent's Jewelers carries a full selection of lab-grown diamonds and jewelry containing lab-grown diamonds. Lab-grown diamonds are a great alternative to natural mined diamonds. They have the same physical, chemical characteristics of a traditional diamond, beauty, durability you want, but at a 70 to 90% discount. See them in person at Vincent's and at vincentsjewelers.com. vincentsjewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Planning a move? I encourage you to call McGuire Moving. And they not only do moving, they can provide you portable storage. They'll bring a storage container to you. You fill it at your time and convenience. They'll pick it up, move it where you want it. Here's their phone number, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Website, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com. Locally owned.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
President Xi's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
Lit Cigar wins Best Smoking Lounge and Best Smoke Shop in the Riverfront Times Best of St. Louis listing for 2023. That is 2 years back-to-back. Lit Cigar Lounge and its new space in the district just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is for men and women who enjoy great cigars, premium drinks. The website keeps you on top of special events, including live entertainment. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
You should have closed your windows and got another dog. You should have chained up all the doors and switched up all the locks. And how many times have I prayed?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The question before us, I think, is whether President Biden used his office for his personal gain or his family's gain, whether there was influence peddling involved, whether there was international dollars flowing to the president as vice president or as private sector, private citizen after leaving the office of the vice presidency. And we have an obligation to follow those dollars. That's point one. Point two is whether or not the vice president then lied about said behavior, repeatedly saying, I never talked business with anybody with respect to his son's business dealings. We have ample evidence on the record indicating that there was, in fact, presence by the president when he was the vice president at business dealings of Hunter and knew full well that that kind of behavior was ongoing. Thirdly, and importantly, is whether or not there has been rampant obstruction by virtue of what we've seen out of the Department of Justice with the orders going down to say that you're going to say that this is, you know, under investigation, that you're not going to answer those questions.
That is Congressman Chip Roy talking about some of the background as to why the House is looking at opening a Biden impeachment inquiry. A lot of it you already know. There's a lot more we need to know, and the only way to get to that is to go through a full impeachment of Joe Biden. Let me remind you again. The impeachment by the House, just as I told you with Trump, just means it's like an indictment by a grand jury on a charge. Does not mean that, quote, he's impeached, that he's actually convicted. That has to go to the Senate, and it would be decided there. And obviously the House is of the opinion, the House leadership, that which are Republicans, we need to be doing this now while we have control of the House. Which brings us back to that other point, that if House Republicans did not control the House, none of this stuff would have been made public. None of this would be public. You wouldn't know anything about any of the Hunter Biden laptop. It would be published in the Post. Miranda Devine and others would be reporting it, but there'd be nothing on a congressional level. There'd be no congressional inquiry into bank statements and records, documents that show Hunter Biden was receiving X dollars and where it went. And the indictment by David Weiss the other day, the special prosecutor, would not have been carried out at all. It barely was anyway. And a lot of it is carried out after some of it has reached a statute of limitations. He cannot be prosecuted on some of them. But there's nothing to stop Congress from going as deep and as far back as it wants. Now, again, that is all Hunter Biden. And I do stress that you keep in mind there is no direct link between Hunter and Daddy, except in blood relationship. I stress that because I don't want folks jumping to the conclusion that, well, if Hunter did all this, Daddy has to be involved. No, he doesn't. But at the same time, you have to keep in mind some of these monies and the comments even Hunter Biden made, 10% for the big guy. That's part of the depositions they want to take, and Hunter refused to go in and do that today. And now he's facing contempt of Congress because he didn't. This will drag on for a while, go through the holidays, then we'll come back again and start all over again, and you may feel like, are we ever going to see any justice? Let me bring something to your attention, speaking of justice. We talked about this yesterday, and I replayed for you an interview that Vic Percelli had with a January 6th inmate speaking from a D.C. jail, federal prison. He's been held under arrest for 3 years on his actions on January 6th. Vic's producer, Ken Anderson, got hold of him, got him on the phone, and it made a great interview. If you missed that yesterday, I remind you, you can go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and you can pull up yesterday's interview. And you can also, of course, pull it up on the Vic Percelli Show. But the thing I want to bring to your attention now, part of the argument that was being made by the January 6th defendant they had on the air yesterday, and we also did as well, is that he's been sitting in jail for 3 years, no trial, and to the extent that some of the lawyers he was appointed seemed to be basically liberal, saying, well, you know, you guys were trying to destroy our Constitution. Would that fit you for an attorney to come in who's representing you on, let's say, on a DUI case, and maybe you're guilty, but they've got to prove it. We still have a system of laws. But the DI, your attorney comes in and says, well, I know you like to drink a lot of Jack, Larry. You probably were drunk, weren't you? I mean, you're just assuming that? Doesn't mean I get behind the wheel and drive all the time with it that way. But the January 6th defendant was saying, basically, the attorneys were coming in and taking the attitude that, well, you must be guilty. That's not a lawyer's position. But this lawyer was being provided by the government. Ah, there lies part of it. But there's another part of all these folks who've been held. Some of it rests upon Donald Trump in the sense that he's also, they're looking at trying to charge him with obstruction and all the other charges. And they didn't really want to rush into a Donald Trump judgment because it might in turn affect 330 defendants are holding for their parts in January 6th. 330, not all being held right now, but have been charged, and some have already been convicted, and long prison sentences for some considered the top leaders. And it also ends up leading to a suicide. There was a 2022 suicide of one of the January 6th defendants, Matthew Perna. His aunt pointed out that Perna, 37 years of age, hanged himself in his garage at his Pennsylvania home when he began to learn and hear that the DOJ was going to seek even more prison time sentencing enhancement for terrorism for those who took part in January 6th. Whether or not they were among those battling the police officers, and if they were battling police officers, I think they should be sentenced for a period of time. I'm not going to deny that. But for the others who simply walked through, and in some cases you flew into D.C. that day for meeting a cousin or a business meeting, they've got your records. And some, even the FBI Director Wray admitted the other day, we're still following several regarding the January 6th. In other words, you're looking for a crime to hang around your neck because you were in D.C. on January 6th. Maybe never anywhere near the Capitol, didn't know anything about taking part in it, you kept your distance, but you flew into D.C. on that day or the day before, and they're questioning you. Why would you do that? You claim you have business, and in some cases, not all of those are following or aware that they might be targeted by the DOJ or the FBI. But Perna knew he was. He was among those that was being facing charges. In fact, his aunt points out to Epoch Times, my nephew, Matthew, was charged with four misdemeanors after January 6th. We thought this would result in a fine and community service, as most misdemeanors do. Kind of like what Hunter Biden was hoping to get with this sweetheart deal. But the aunt adds, when Matthew later got charged with a felony of obstruction, his entire case took a huge turn for the worse. His defense attorney said the DOJ is using a portion of the law in a novel way rooted in corruption and political hatred. And in fact, the attorney for him said, for the love of God, what does this act and election-related protests have to do with each other? And I'll tell you, he said, absolutely nothing. He asked, were protesters running around capturing ballots, shredding documents to obstruct an official proceeding on January 6th? No, they most certainly were not, he says. So how is it that a law designed to protect white-collar document shredders being applied to a bunch of blue-collar J6 protesters who simply came to the Capitol that day and were caught on video? They've got cameras everywhere. They got pictures of everything. They have all kinds of FBI agents got assigned to look at that. And they have yet to have pictures and video of whoever planted the pipe bombs at the Republican National Committee headquarters and the Democrat National Committee headquarters. They just suddenly, oh, we can't find those. I just can't seem to have an answer. The entire January 6th sham, the hearing, and the video they released when they were, quote, concluding, featured only the most violent parts of January 6th. That's why they got so upset when the entire stack of video was turned over to Tucker Carlson and he began to pull out pieces showing people just walking through the hallways, even being led by guards, staying inside the velvet rope in some areas. And they're also on the January 6th list. Speaking of Tucker Carlson, coming up, Tucker Carlson on a book you probably will not read, but it could be fun for party jokes.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
It's a book-length suck-up to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez by the editors at New York Magazine. It's coming out next week. Now, a hagiography of Sandy Cortez is like a box of Fig Newtons. You know it's wrong to open it, but the temptation is strong. And so we did. And before we knew it, we consumed the whole thing. We still feel sick. So that is what we're opening with tonight, the new Sandy Cortez book. Yes, it's a lighter topic than tyranny in Canada or war in Ukraine, both of which we will get to in a minute. Our only excuse is it's Friday and we've got limited self-control with stuff like this. It's an amazing book. Let's put it this way. It opens by comparing Ocasio-Cortez to Jesus. And then it suggests that because she once got second place in a high school science competition, she could have gone on to win the Nobel Prize.
Oh, my God.
It is a remarkable piece of journalism. We plan to put extensive excerpts from the book on the screen tonight for you to read. And then we thought, who reads anymore? Not Sandy Cortez. She never reads. Reading is racism. It's so white people.
So white people. That was Tucker Carlson talking about this book titled, let me see the exact title. It's a Take Up Space, the Unprecedented AOC. Take Up Space. And the editors of New York Magazine are giving it 4.1 out of 5 stars. Oh, she got to be upset over that. They call it a stunning four-color biography of the Congresswoman. In the best-selling tradition of notorious RBG and Pelosi, capturing her explosive rise and impact on the future of American culture and politics, and beginning and pointing out the candidate was young, 28 years old, a child of Puerto Rico, the Bronx, Yorktown Heights, working as a waitress and a bartender, completely unknown, taking on a 10-term incumbent in a city famous for protecting its political institutions. And she's quoted as saying in a video launching her campaign, "Women like me aren't supposed to run for office, but she did, and she won, and at 29 became sworn in as the youngest member of the 116th member of Congress." And, of course, now she's one of the most talked about public figures, not necessarily one of the most loved, but one of the most talked about. And she thinks she's bigger than what she is anyway. And as I say, they describe her as the female Jesus or something of that nature. I love Tucker Carlson pointing it out that it's like that box of Fig Newtons. You know, you don't really need those. Do not do it. And once you open it, okay, I just opened it. I didn't have one. But then you do have one. And you have another one. And pretty soon you have the whole darn box. You don't like Fig Newtons? How about a bag of chips? Can you eat just one? Of course not. By the way, Tucker Carlson and his network went live on Monday. He's been doing all of his work on Twitter ever since Fox News fired him. I should say they didn't fire him. They kept him on the payroll so they could have control over him. He could not go on any other network, so he was going on Twitter and putting up his feeds on a fairly routine basis. Well, now, after months of posting videos on Twitter, the Tucker Carlson Network went live this week. They're going to handle multiple shows, interviews, short form. His network logo resembles a red pill. It will cost you $9 a month, $72 a year, solely available through his website. Stop and think about this for a moment. $72 a year. At last check on Twitter, Tucker Carlson had 10 million followers. 10 million. Let me see some ciphering. I don't have enough fingers, but if I take 10 times 72, I'm still going to come up to around $720 million a year. Not much for a guy who got fired. I mean, I don't know how he's going to make his life. But it's going to attract a large following. Coming up, Joe Biden may be saying the things out loud he shouldn't. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.